A slow-roasted unicorn. A baked, butterflied baby dragon, spread-eagled, spine a delicate slope in the pan. A phoenix, perhaps, slightly charred from its fiery rebirth, sprinkled with sugar, flesh caramelized from the heat. That's what she wants to eat. A mythical creature, something slightly otherworldly, something not real. A centaur. Yes, the juicy haunch of a centaur. Mercy lies in bed, not quite asleep, not quite awake, sheets crumpled around her, feeling the gnawing hole in her stomach, relishing it, savoring it. The sun streams in through her small, smudged window. By the looks of it, it must be past 11 a.m., a time when most people, respectable people, people with jobs, have been at work for several hours and may already be contemplating what they should eat for lunch. She can hear the muted sounds of the streets below. Shangwan, an area too quickly being discovered by the rent hikers, those young industrious careerists in their well-cut suits and shiny leather shoes, who leave at 8:30 in the morning with wet hair and sheaves of papers shoved in briefcases. They have discovered this relatively cheap neighborhood, a short walk from Central, and have succeeded in slowly gentrifying it. The rent hikers live among aging locals who view their encroachment with bemused silence. Every morning they pass the crazy charwoman in the lobby, who barks incomprehensible Cantonese invectives at them as they walk through, fingertips pecking on their phones, pretending not to notice. These superbly energetic men and women have tried to get the charwoman replaced, started a petition, which was photocopied and slipped under Mercy's door for her signature, but all their efforts have come to naught. The crazy woman stays all day and night, sitting on her plastic stool, bucket and mop beside her, shouting at them and at herself. It is believed she lives in a little room off the lobby, but no one has been able to ascertain the truth. No one has ever seen her do any cleaning, or leave, or come back. It's one of those Hong Kong mysteries, where she might be the landlord's demented aunt, a homeless person who has made the lobby her home, or indeed an insane millionaire who owns the building. All this conjecture and information is conveyed through messages posted in the elevator. Then suddenly, one day, a direction to an online message board to which they all migrate, leaving the wall in the elevator mercifully blank. All that remains of the shrill, slightly hysterical dialogue is a strip of yellowing scotch tape on the plastic wall. Mercy is hungry. She should eat. But she wants to eat a centaur's thigh, roasted over a bonfire, turned on a spit by fairies, their sparkling little faces perspiring from the heat. She is certain she will not find this when she ventures out into the small, tight streets around her. They are filled instead with equally improbable things. Shiny cow innards, disembodied pig's heads with floppy ears, stacked up in bloody piles. Dried seahorses in burlap sacks. She does not find the food grotesque, instead is bewildered by how one begins to eat such items, existing as they do in such peculiar and indeterminate forms, or indeed alive, or in quantities that would feed a village. When she gets up, she determines, she will turn on her space heater to warm the chill of the December air. She will take out a head of organic Boston lettuce from her little refrigerator and pull apart the leaves, soak them for 10 minutes, then transfer them into a spinner, where they will be centrifuged and the sandy water discarded. She will toss the leaves in a wooden bowl with a micro spray of olive oil, a drop of balsamic vinegar, the insanely expensive balsamic vinegar that she bought at the gourmet store, so viscous it drips in a slow, thick stream. A tomato, a Persian cucumber. These will emerge pristine from her tiny refrigerator, chilled, perfect. She will slice them thinly and fan them into beautiful patterns. A vegetable mandala, courtesy of the mandolin, a feast for the eyes. She will hand crumble Parmigiano Reggiano onto the top, and then, from on high, she will brandish the mill and grind coarse crystals of pink salt from the Himalayas into fine, sparkly shavings that will float like snowflakes onto the pale green surface of her salad. She will bring the salad to the table by her bed, which she will have set with a scalloped linen placemat she bought on a trip to Hanoi with a matching napkin and a glass with a bottle of Fiji water just next to it, ready for pouring. She lives in a 200-square-foot studio, but she does not have to live like a savage. Mercy will sit on the bed and take up her instruments, her heavy silver fork and knife, stolen from Gaddy's restaurant on a memorable night in better times. The lettuce, slightly glossed with oil, will yield as she presses the tines of her fork into it, the whole bleeding a slightly darker green as she breaks the cells of the leaf, violent death in its own microscopic way. From there, she will lift it into her mouth, a light sliver on her tongue for an instant before her teeth grind it into a small, slippery pulp that will slip down her throat. She will swallow. She will cut another piece. She will put it in her mouth and chew again. Swallow. Drink water. Drink more water. Spear another leaf. Repeat. It is important to do things right. Otherwise, when you live alone, it can devolve very quickly. Stand on ceremony. Observe the rites. That's how you get through the day.